I just saw that Nancy Pelosi, just before our meeting, made a statement that we believe that the President of the United States is engaged in a cover-up. Well, it turns out I'm the most, and I think most of you would agree to this, I'm the most transparent president probably in the history of this country.
Today, Shakespeare in the Park, live from Washington, D.C., featuring the leads, Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi. It's said by reviewers to be spectacular. Chuck Todd joins us. Meet the Press, MTP Daily, the Chuck Toddcast, which you should listen to regularly. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, good morning, Steve.
It's a beautiful day in Chicago. That's what I'm trying to focus on, as opposed to the end of America as we know it.
We have a nice day here, too. I mean, you know, so at least we'll go down with the sunshine.
That's exactly right. All right, so I've read the presidential oath of office, and I've read the Constitution. It seems it's saying you won't execute the duties of the office unless Congress doesn't execute theirs would be impeachable.
You know, this is the fascinating thing about the president is that he has no patience and he never thinks about the long term. Everything is in the immediate and immediate and immediate, and he always responds in a personal way. And if he would show patience, he could wedge the Democrats on this issue. He was so, look, I think what the president thought and what the White House thinks in general is that Democrats are divided on this. Let me push their buttons. The problem is he just signaled to the country, blame me for the gridlock. You don't like stuff not getting done in Washington? Well, I've decided stuff's not getting done in Washington.
Right.
For the life of me, I don't know why he would politically want to own that. But it was all in the service of what he thought would be a short-term win to create anxiety for Pelosi with the House Democrats and the divide they have on impeachment. And in a weird way, they only unified them.
Now, to be fair, did she have to light that match right before the meeting?
You know, no, but, you know, this is the thing. Our president has a thin skin.
Mm-hmm.
Is she supposed to manage that all the time?
Well, that's fair.
You know, it was a meeting. You know, I mean, she didn't do it publicly. It was in a private meeting. And I'm sorry, the man that personally insults all of us all the time, and people are supposed to be sensitive to his feelings. It's sort of like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the guy that has gotten people to come to send death threats to my house. I'm sorry. And everybody that interacts with him gets death threats because of him. So the idea that he's personally offended, it's just crazy to those of us that have been on the receiving end of death threats in the service to him.
So
I get like that. Just his feelings are so sensitive. Okay, you know, then why'd you run for president?
No, I totally agree with you. And I said from the moment he announced, you have no idea what you're asking for with this guy. He cannot take the lightest of insults, and he will react like a child every time. And he's proven that to be true every single time. And obviously you've had personal experience
with him. Yeah, every time.
All right, so
he's a child, and he's gotten his Kool-Aid drinkers to follow suit on some of this stuff.
Well, that's the thing. The Kool-Aid drinkers are always going to be there. The 35% are always going to be there without question. So you're not going to move them. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Nixon had 29-30% approval rate when he left office, right?
That's right. That's right.
So
the question is whether it's in the 40s.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that that's the case, because you have to believe the percentage of the 40 that still say they support him would not when that eventuality comes. The thing I don't understand, Chuck, and explain this to me, you continue to hear people who have much more legal knowledge than I'll ever have saying, well, this is going to take a long time. Courts aren't going to take this up right away. This is going to take a long time. How does this not qualify for emergency action in courts if they get this thing to decide in any way, shape, or form?
Well, actually, the courts have been moving fairly quickly. Courts have not dawdled on this so far. There has been, the courts have dawdled in the past on this. Courts seem to be acting quicker here, knowing that the strategy of the Trump White House seems to be to use the courts to delay. And I think it's sort of, I'll be honest, I think the Trump folks telegraphed their strategy too well. And I think it has sort of motivated the courts. It's motivated Congress, so they keep asking for expedited rulings, and they've been getting them. So, I think the courts are moving, But I'll tell you, it does feel like we're stumbling towards impeachment, because here's the argument, the strongest argument that the pro-impeachment side is making inside the Democratic caucus. Don't, you keep saying you don't want to do something for political reasons. Right now, the only reason not to do impeachment is politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a bad, that if that is the only argument you can make against doing it, then you may be making the strongest argument for it. Because if you, the whole point of this is what? Don't get caught playing politics. And if by deciding not to do impeachment, you're, the decision is because you want to wait till 2020, it's pretty risky.
Yeah, well, it's risky, it's stupid, it's selfish, it's all of those things. And that's why I thought Tom Steyer's impeachment the commercial that's been running all over, including the Sunday morning shows,
pretty center. Effective, isn't it?
Dead center.
Yeah.
All right, so back to the court question for a second. So can they run a stall? Can they run an old Dean Smith box in one and wind down the clock here?
I think they're hoping they can, but things, like I said, these courts have moved quicker. You know, the real, to me, the real moment, the first big moment is going to be when the courts order the Treasury Department to hand over the tax returns. He's going to want to defy that court order. And I think that's where you bring up the court fights. I think it will be the White House or the president defying a court order that will be the last straw and what will trigger the actual impeachment, beginning of impeachment. I think that's in some ways, she's got to hang her hat on something. And I think everything we know about this guy is he will defy a court order. You know, we don't have technically a constitutional crisis yet because he's yet to defy a branch of government, you know, defy a court order. But if he defies a court order on one of these subpoenas, I think that ends up being the trigger.
Can you be complicit in defying a court order when you tell one of your people don't honor a subpoena?
You know, that's a good question. And I think, you know, again, I go back to, I think they have to go back to court to enforce McGahn one more time. I think they want to go to the last straw of the courts and use that, almost use that, hang their hat on that. But that's where I think this is headed.
The folks that talk to NBC News all the time, and this is open discussion on the air, obviously sources are never revealed on either side, nor should they be. But I don't know how people like Steve Mnuchin and the others that are still working in that White House think they have any life or any career beyond this. Mnuchin seems to have trouble even getting the lie out of his mouth now when it comes to sitting there and claiming he doesn't turn the tax returns over because it's illegal. It's exactly opposite of that.
You know, I think all of these folks assume they just are going to live to see another day. And I'll be honest, history will prove them right. How many times did Donald Trump embarrass himself and yet given second, third, and fourth chances? There's always somebody. I mean, I think here's the people that will suffer the most. It isn't going to be the Steve Mnuchin. The people who are going to suffer the most are the people you don't know their names. They're the ones that were the deputies and the assistants. They're the ones that are count on getting the jobs at the Goldmans and at the big law firm, Gibson Dunn's. And it's those places that'll be like, I don't know how many Trump people we want. And so it's not the big names. The big names always get the pass. The big names always have a friend who will do a deal with them that can start their own business. It's the middle, sort of the middle management political appointees in Trump world. Those are the folks that I'm sitting there going, what are you doing? I mean, look at H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor. He hasn't been able to get the type of work that normally former national security advisors get, no corporate board, things like that. I think it's the lesser known names that will get that will feel the punishment the most.
Well, but then you have names you do know, right? Michael Cohen's in jail. And the idea that Donald Trump will protect anybody that served him, if push comes to shove, is ridiculous. The loyalty only goes one way.
That's right. One way. We don't, you know, the only person that people think that he might help out over himself is his daughter. And that's the only family member.
How about that? Bad day for Don Jr. Pat Brady, last word for you with our friend Chuck Todd.
Hey, Chuck, what is the going on in Iran politically? What is that, a real or is that just a political pretext to distract?
I don't know. Well, I don't think it's either answer. I don't mean to sort of. I don't think they were wagging the dog here. I do think that this is Pompeo. This is there. There are certain people in the administration that want a high-pressure Iran campaign. Certain people in the Senate that want an intense Iran pressure campaign. The problem is the president's not one of them, right? I think that is what is complicating things. I think it is very telling that the Secretary of Defense went out of his way to let the public know that he was saying, oh, no, you know, Iran's not a threat right at the moment. So I think that this is certainly real in that there was an effort by Pompeo and Bolton to go to the brink here a little bit, see if they could shake Europe away from Iran, and it hasn't worked. So it seems to me that because the president didn't like the troop stuff, and because this wasn't more, it feels to me that we're just quietly, sort of loosening the vise a little bit, at least rhetorically. You know, speaking of bad foreign policy decisions, Venezuela is unraveling before the president's eyes, and none of us are paying attention. But Maduro's got the upper hand there. I mean, this turned out to be a strategic blunder. Just not getting attention.
Did we let that happen, or is that just the situation as it is?
I think we made a bad bet. I mean, I think it's one of those things. We made a bad bet, and we thought that Guaido was stronger than he was, and so this is a case where I think this is a case where Rubio and Bolton sort of dragged the administration there, and I think we put our prestige on the line for something that just wasn't in the card yet. So I think that's what it turns out to be. It's an embarrassing decision in hindsight. I mean, if you're going to do that, you better know that he's got the goods and he didn't have the goods.
Chuck Todd, before you tell me your fabulous Memorial Day weekend plans, I want you to know that you are still invited with a plus one to my big infrastructure week party this weekend.
This was about the most epic infrastructure week we've had.
Right?
Right? I mean, this was... Of all the infrastructure week, this has probably been among the most interesting. How about that?
As I look at the bridge, they had to shut down for 5 days because it's cracked here.
Right,
they had
to use duct tape on.
You know that I heard that like FedEx and UPS, they will sit here and publicly support a gas tax for infrastructure because they said you could charge them all the money in the world. The amount of money they'll save on wear and tear in their trucks,
absolutely,
because of the infrastructure, how bad it is. Like they are basically saying, tax us as much as you want. We're still going to save money if you just fix these goddamn roads, because that's what FedEx and UPS are complaining about. How bad it is for their own mechanics and fixing their trucks.
All you have to do with a bridge, Chuck, is paint it. That's what we do here.
Exactly. Chuck Todd, Chuck Todd Cast, right, MTP Daily, Meet the Press Sunday. Have a great weekend.
You got it, guys.
Thanks. Nothing needs to be added to that.